Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Good evening, and welcome to Monsters Among Us Season 6. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Thank you all for circling back and tuning in. I have an amazing season opener lined up for you guys. And I know it's been a while, but these past few weeks have given me time to not only clear my mind, but prepare for this upcoming season. So, thank you all for your patience while I took that little break. Well, hey, I know you guys have been waiting for a long time for the show's return. So I'll stop yapping, and we'll start with the spooky stuff. Our very first call of the season comes to us all the way from the Transylvania region of Romania.
Hello there. I'm a big fan of the show, and I've been binge listening to a bunch of podcasts, and I remembered a story that I haven't heard anybody talk about on the podcast, and I haven't been able to find anything online relating to this subject. So I'm actually calling from Eastern Europe, Transylvania, but this is not going to be about vampires. I live in an urban area and I have a dog, and usually we go out for a quick walk at night, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, just for a quick run, and that's it. Usually nothing happens, nothing eventful. Just your maybe like creepy person, that's about it. But this particular night, we're like wrapping up our walk, and my dog is pulling like there's no tomorrow. And I realized that something's off, and I'm looking around and I can't really, like, I'm looking to see like, is there like a creepy person or something, and I can't see anything. And then all of a sudden, like in like one of the shadowy areas, I realize that there's a face staring back at me. Like, I can clearly tell that there's this pair of eyes is just locked on me. And it just chills me to the bone. Like, even talking about it now, like, I'm just out of breath and panicky, basically. And I can't put my finger on, like, why this is freaking me out so much, because we do see cats and dogs and things when we're out for a walk, but like this was completely different. So as my eyes are adjusting to the darkness around this thing that was darker than the dark around it, I realized that it looks like a black cat, but the face was not that of a cat. It's almost like at Halloween, like just when people put like Halloween masks like on their pets, so So the body's like of a dog or a cat, but then the face is like humanoid. So anyway, I think nothing of it really. We just sprint home and I chalk it up just being like a weird like cat that we bump into. And then I remembered this story that my grandmother told me when I was like 5 years old. And it's basically of shape-shifting men. Now, the name that they have for this is called Burkolac, which if you translate it, it basically says like werewolf. But there are no stories about werewolves in Eastern Europe. It's basically men who transform into cats. And basically like they tumble forward three times or something and they turn into cats. And I always thought that these stories were just meant to keep me in line as a kid. Like, I never took them seriously. But she told me of a story of when she was young. So this is, like, going back, like, 80 years or so. And apparently the village or the town that she lived in, like, at one point, villagers started like, everybody has, like, a homestead, so they keep animals. And villagers started noticing that some of the animals would go missing in the night and then they would like turn up half eaten, mutilated the next day. So at one point they get fed up with this and they decide, like all the men in the village, decide to stay up and try and catch whatever animal is like mutilating and eating their animals, because there are wolves and bears and things. And at one point, I don't know, like past midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, something, they suddenly hear like a noise in the chicken coop. And when they rush in, they see this cat. Now, these cats are not like gigantic cats, but they're obviously bigger than like your house cat. So they see this black cat that doesn't really look like 100% like a cat attacking a chicken. And they start making noise, whatever. And then one of the villagers manages to wound the cat with like a pitchfork or some sort of tool. The story goes that, or what my grandma said, is that the next day, like one of the villagers shows up, like one of the men in the village shows up with a bandage and a wound on the arm that they had wounded the cat the previous night. And that's where the story ends. And like basically the villagers realized that the man was a shapeshifter and he was the one killing their chickens and animals. So obviously I never believed this and I just thought it was like part of the lore and the folklore and everything. And then I had this experience with this cat and I'm sure that it was just someone's pet cat that was out at night and I was like hyper vigilant and I was just panicky and scared because of the dark. But then again, I can't help but think, like, what if my grandma was right? What if these things exist? What if it's not just werewolves that exist in like Hollywood movies? What if cat men exist? What if these shape-shifting men actually exist? What if these Burkolac actually exist? It just, I don't know. I like, now I'm a true believer and my grandmother's no longer around. Unfortunately, she passed away many years ago. And I can't go tell her, like, I believe you. I feel like I've witnessed something that you told me about when I was a kid. And she told these stories to me for me to be on the lookout. Now I realize they weren't to scare me. Anyway, long story short, or very long story, I love the podcast. Keep up the great work, and I can't wait for the next episode. Bye.
Thank you so much for calling in from so far away. Just a reminder to others overseas, you can also record your story on your phone or computer and just email me the MP3 or WAV file. No need to add to your phone bill. But in this case, I'm very glad that she did. Now, full disclosure, when I was a kid, I was completely fascinated with cats. Big cats, house cats, anything feline. That fascination grew when I learned about werewolves. My immediate thought was that if someone could become part man, part dog, then certainly I could become part man, part cat. And since big cats are way scarier than wolves, I couldn't help but imagine all of the new powers I would have if I became a werecat. Well, obviously that transformation never occurred, but the fascination still lingers with me. Now, I did my best to uncover more about this mysterious legend, but due to the movie franchise Hotel Transylvania, the waters are fairly muddied, so I wasn't able to pull up much of anything on it. But I will say our friends over at Blurry Photos Podcast did a pretty decent job with the ghost story our caller shared. You can hear that story on their Campfire Ghost Stories 4 episode, or just follow the link in tonight's show notes. I'd like to thank you again, caller, for sharing this story. Perhaps you merely saw a scraggly cat in the weeds, but the story that encounter triggered was downright astounding.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Our next story comes to us from a repeat offender. The following is a doppelganger story from past submitter TJ Strange.
Hi there, TJ Strange. So this story starts many, many years ago. About 15 years ago, actually, because I was 14 the first time this started. And I live in Salem, Alabama. I've lived in Alabama my entire life. In Alabama, at least when I was 14, you were allowed to get your motorcycle license at 14. So I did, and therefore I was the youngest person with a driver's license at my school. Also, in those days, I was really into metal and was what you would call a goth kid. I looked like the Crow every day. You know, the Brandon Lee movie. Anywho, so people used to tell me then that they had seen me places where I had not been. At first, I shrugged it off, thinking, you know, it could be any long-haired goth kid on a motorcycle, which you might would think was me. Well, as I got a little older, I started getting into punk rock and started, I had a mohawk and dyed my hair every color that you can think of. And I would still constantly have people tell me that they were seeing me places where I had not been. I started getting piercings, same thing. People would see me places I had not been. I didn't think much of it for a long, long time. Then I had two fairly recent experiences that has kind of made me think maybe there's something more to this. So in 2013, one of my friends that lives in Las Vegas called me upset that I had not told him that I was coming to Las Vegas. I have never left the South except for going to Chicago. Aside from that, the southern states are the only states I've ever been to. So I told him, you know, there's no way that you saw me in Las Vegas. Well, he was very adamant that he had seen me and said that he knew it was me because same piercings, same tattoos. And that kind of stood out to me. Same tattoos. Now, my tattoos are not particularly unique, but maybe the placements would be a little more so. Regardless, I find it unlikely that somebody would have the same tattoos as me in the same places as me, especially considering one of the main ones that anyone can see is on my forearm, and it's actually a painting that one of my friends had done, an original piece of art. So I highly doubt anyone else would have that tattoo. There again, I shrugged it off. You know, we made jokes about me having a doppelganger. I've had, again, multiple reports of people saying that they'd seen me places where I had not been. But that one stood out because of the tattoos. And then about 2 weeks ago, one of my friends was going into the Army, and we were planning a going-away dinner at his parents' house. I couldn't make it because I had to babysit my son. I couldn't take him with me. And this was in Tuskegee, Alabama, is where the dinner was supposed to be happening. I live in Salem, Alabama. It's about 30, 45 minutes away. So after I had explained to my friend that I was not going to be able to make the dinner at his parents' house, then I started getting texts from other people who were attending saying that they were seeing me in Tuskegee in my truck. And one of them that really stood out to me was, well, my partner and a t-shirt company that I've started. He's the artist, and we meet with each other every week. We know each other quite well. I've seen people who resemble him, but I have never seen anyone that I thought was him, and he was sure that he was seeing me in Tuskegee while I was sitting in Salem with my son. Short story, but I thought you might like to hear it. Love the podcast. Keep it up. Bye.
Thank you, TJ. I remember knowing goths in both high school and college, and even though I knew them, I couldn't help but notice that they all seemed to look a lot alike. Same manner of dress, same hair color, and often same style, and similar makeup. So especially at a distance, they all kind of looked similar to me. So it's no surprise that people may mistake one goth for another. And this could very well be a cut-and-dry case, chalked up to simple misidentification. But that does not explain the ability to identify certain tattoos that belong to TJ. Now sure, I suppose it's possible that the witnesses simply saw the tattoos in the appropriate location and imagined that they were the exact design that TJ had. Or perhaps it was dark and the details weren't as prominent and the imagination filled in the rest. But here's my biggest hang-up on this account. I've heard countless doppelganger stories, but I've never heard one person have so many experiences with the phenomenon. So either there's something strange going on, no pun intended, or perhaps there's something more to all of this. Either way, I find the stories fascinating and truly appreciate you calling in, TJ. If only someone caught a picture of this mystery man. Now, before we move on to our next call, I have a special message and bonus encounter story from our very own Warren Ponabbott.
Hey Derek, it's Warren. Wanted to do something a little bit different as a way of saying thank you to everyone that donated to me and Addie, just kind of as a way to show my appreciation for it. As you know, the show has been a really big help to me. I love it, and I love being able to do it. There are times when I've gotten really down, and then I see one of your stories come in for me to read, and that perks me right up, and it means a lot that people appreciate what I do. It just means the world to me, so thanks again to you, Derek, and to everyone who donated, and just to the listeners in general. Hopefully you guys like what I do. So a long time back when I first contacted you about reading stories, I'd said that I had a story of my own, and as part of my thank you, I wanted to share it. It's nothing crazy, and I think we already have an explanation for it, but here it goes. I was about 12 or 13, and it was, you know, a regular day, regular night. I went to bed. And the next thing that I remember was this very intense whitish blue light streaming through my window, filling my entire room in light blue and gray shadows. I remember my body being completely tense, rigid, arms kind of down at my sides as though I was like strapped down, and I was levitating off of the bed. I don't know if I was really levitating, but that's how I would describe feeling. In my memory, which, you know, it's been a while, but in my memory, I was levitating off the bed and being like held in place. And then I just remember some sort of a presence. It didn't feel particularly malevolent or benevolent. It didn't feel either of those necessarily. It was just, there was something there. And I don't know what it was. I don't know how long this lasted. It felt like forever. That was pretty much it. The next thing I remember, I woke up in the morning, and I remember telling all of my friends about it at high school. I think I must have told some of my high school friends about it years later, and one of them told me it was a psychic vampire. Anyway, that's it. I'm sure the explanation is simple, and it was likely some form of sleep paralysis. But what's interesting to me about this story isn't that it happened, but what happened after. I think it was around this time that I noticed shifts in my personality, changes in the way I saw the world and the way things affected me. And I won't get into details about those changes necessarily, but I'm really curious if anybody who has experienced sleep paralysis or an experience like mine, maybe it wasn't sleep paralysis, maybe it was aliens, but I would just love to know if anybody else has experienced major, and I mean very major, personality changes after an experience like that. And if so, I know I personally would love to hear their stories and maybe hear a little bit about what they experienced as far as those changes go. So anyway, that's my story. I do have another one involving camping recently, but I'll maybe save that for another, you know, year and a half, 2 years down the road. Anyway, again, thank you to everyone who donated. Thank you so much, Derek, for putting out this show, for giving me the opportunity to read people's stories, occasionally doing a silly voice, and for making me uncomfortable when I go camping now, because apparently I listen to the show too much. Anyway, that's all I got, man. I love the show. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Warren. Not only for the story, but for all you've done for the show over the past few years. Without your voice, the show would not be half of what it is today. Now, as for Warren's story, it sounds like a classic case of sleep paralysis to me, which is easy for me to say from the comfort of my 85-degree studio. But what really caught my attention was his mention of feeling different after the event. This phenomenon, perhaps surprisingly, is reported often, although usually involving poltergeist hauntings. Changes in mood, physical and mental energy, focus, and sleep have all been reported as a result of unusual activity. Of course, it's entirely possible that an episode of sleep paralysis could have the same result. Despite its rather benign effects, sleep paralysis can really mess with the victim's head, causing irrational fear and paranoia, for starters. And I hope for your sake, Warren, that it was merely a night terror, and not some sort of demon or energy vampire. Thank you again, Warren, for everything.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And since we just heard from Warren, I thought it would be fun to play one of the calls that he performed. So without further ado, the following is an anonymous submission from the state of Texas.
This story is one that has unfortunately stuck with me, something I've carried and had several nightmares about in the following years since. I want to begin by stating that even though I've been listening to the show for quite a while, I was finally inspired to write this out because of the music in one of your recent shows. During Season 5, Episode 11, there was at one point in the background music that sounded like an echoed, singing wailing, which quite frankly was a bit jarring. Remember and hold, if you can, this sound. During the spring semester of college in 2011, I was rewarded a significant scholarship through my university to study abroad. I'm from the American South, East Texas to be specific, and wanted to study somewhere less recognizable or romanticized to most American minds. After studying my options, I settled with a small program at a university in Sarajevo, Bosnia and Herzegovina. In late August, I boarded a plane and after two exhausting layovers, was fully enrolled and escorted to my new dorm where I met my German roommate. I want to begin the next part by qualifying the situation. That is, I am a gay man, and the situation in Bosnia for LGBT people is less than ideal. Now, after settling into a routine for several weeks, I went to a bar with my roommate and met a Bosnian guy that I began to really like. He was a head taller than me, rather burly and extremely sweet. We began to see each other regular, and I found that I really enjoyed spending my time with him. Because of the cultural situation, we often would only meet at evening or night and stay together in more accepting venues or each other's homes. We had come to an arrangement over several weeks of dating where, if I was at his apartment until very late at night, he would walk me halfway to my dorm, seeing me through a park before embracing and turning back. Sarajevo is honestly, despite the stereotype, a relatively safe city, so I had never been too worried about walking alone at night. I was also comforted in being escorted part way by such a large guy. One particular night, I fell asleep at his apartment, and we awoke a little after 3, much later than I usually stayed. It was late September and a little warm, and I remember walking to the window and looking out into a beautiful clear night sky. I woke him and stated that I really needed to get home before the neighborhood starts bustling and that I would leave now to prevent being seen. He agreed and we began the short walk. I remember the warm weather so distinctly because it reminded me of home, very humid. And I was wearing only a t-shirt and shorts and him only a thin tank and sweats. I also distinctly remember how clear the sky was, beautiful with only a few stars visible due to the city lights. We reached the entrance to the park, and he stated he wanted to turn around early because he was still very sleepy and worked early the next morning. I told him it would be okay and to get some rest. I'd made this walk a million times with him and alone during the day. We embraced, and he turned around. I started my normal walk, and I began to feel uneasy. I wasn't sure why, but continued walking through the park. It wasn't far to my dorm. Then something I'll never forget. I felt a light breeze hit my skin. I thought it was strange because there was no indication of wind like this previously. It began to come in short intervals, light and cold. Then I heard the noise. The wailing noise, similar to the music described, but slightly different and distinct still, began from a small grove of trees several places behind me. It was terrifying, and would also come in short intervals of varying pitch. I began to run, picking up pace, trying to quickly run inside, and that's when I saw what keeps coming to me in my nightmares. Just outside the park, in a small alley between two larger buildings, stood a large shadow. A dark creature that couldn't have stood anything less than 7 feet tall. It sauntered slowly, with a slightly abnormal gait. It had two long arms with long, bony fingers that came to a point, and it stood on two legs with inverted knees. It continued to walk very slowly, almost nonchalantly, toward the lit street where I stood. Its hands made contact with the stone buildings on either side of it as it moved. I couldn't see any feature or colors other than the darkness. I ran to my dorm, terrified of it possibly following me, and found my roommate passed out drunk with a few of his friends. He jolted awake when I slammed the door closed and was more annoyed with me despite my tears and crying. He had no recollection of me coming home the next morning. 2 nights later, I told the guy I was dating, and he told me not to worry about it. I was still half asleep and probably imagined it. Anytime I tried to ask him later, he wouldn't talk about it. It was odd, because he never seemed the superstitious type. I know it sounds odd, and it's such a short experience, but I wanted to share. Like I said, the creature has since appeared in my nightmares a few times since it really stuck with me. Thank you so much for a great show. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, caller. I'll start off by saying that this kind of sounds familiar. Back in the early 2000s, a man dressed as an alien roamed the streets of a small UK town. For more on that, here's a clip from Undercurrents Polio.
Now, they say the camera never lies, except in this studio, of course. But in Bournemouth last night, they couldn't believe their eyes. The town's security cameras picked up the shadowy figure of an 8-foot alien stomping through the town centre. Within minutes, the police arrived to arrest the beast. But as Sue Greenfield explains, all wasn't quite as it seemed.
It appeared from nowhere. Suddenly, through the mist, an 8-foot alien was spotted walking through Bournemouth town centre in the early hours this morning. A lone security guard picked up the outline of the shadowy predator on the street's cameras. Within seconds, the police were on the scene, unaware the latex creature was starring in a pop video.
They started circling around the roundabout, and they weren't quite sure whether to stop or what to do. I mean, they'd obviously been tipped off by the closed-circuit TV people that there was an 8-foot alien rampaging up Bournemouth town centre. So they must have been, like, pretty edgy by the time they got here. And I sort of felt a bit sorry for them, actually.
The alien was, in fact, a friend of ARC's called Dean. He'd taken an hour to get into costume for the video for ARC's new single, Spiky Message.
It's a song about freedom. Freedom to do what you want to do, when you want to do it. And that includes if you want to dress up as an alien.
After giving the alien a quick dressing down, it was the police who disappeared into outer space today. We couldn't find anyone on duty who knew anything about the incident. ARC hopes the single will catapult him into chart success. And as for the video, it could end up with a few unpaid extras. Sue Greenfield in Bournemouth for Meridian tonight.
So I shared all that for this reason. I'm wondering if what our caller saw that evening was just someone taking their brand new homemade alien suit out for a spin. Or perhaps they too were trying to trick CCTV cameras. And I'll be honest, I do not know a lot about the myths and legends of that region of the world. So perhaps there's some historical clout to this experience. So if any of you out there have any insight on this, drop me a line. I attempted to find a cryptid from that area that also fit the description, but sadly came up empty-handed. Whatever this thing was, it certainly sounds terrifying. Thank you again, caller, for taking the time to share.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Next up, we head back to the States for a few ghostly encounters, sure to raise a few hairs. The following is Michael's call from the state of Illinois.
Hey Derek, my name is Michael from Illinois. I thought I'd record a series of about 5 short stories that happened to me over the span of about 10 years that I think are kind of related. It always felt like the same entity or energy, but it all started probably whenever I was about 10 years old. Well, it all started... I mean, it was kind of always, I had a feeling about that house, like it was the house I grew up in, and it just never really felt comfortable. It always felt like there was someone or something waiting at the opposite end of a set of stairs that were in the house. So whenever I was in the basement, I was fine being in the basement, but like, trying to go up the stairs, it always felt like there was something waiting for me just at the top of the stairs, and whenever I would go down the stairs, it always felt like there was something waiting at the bottom. It was just really peculiar. I would always hear strange things around the house, but it was kind of an older house, and especially in our neighborhood, it was one of the older houses, so I never really thought that much of it other than that it was just, you know, old house stuff. So the first first strange thing that happened to me was a little bit embarrassing, but it was probably whenever I was like, I don't know, young adolescent, somewhere between 10 and 12 years old, and I was in a bathroom that we had in the upstairs, and it was a really short, narrow bathroom, and like literally the amount of space you'd need for a sink, a toilet, and like a 4x4 cubic shower, standing shower. So it was a really tiny bathroom. And I'm in there with the door shut, and I'm just about to turn the shower on, and like when I go in there dressed, get ready for the shower, and my clothes are kind of piled in the corner by the door, and like a pair of briefs like picked up and flew across the bathroom and landed at my feet, which granted it was only like, I don't know, maybe 3 feet away, 3 or 4 feet away. It was the only article of clothing that moved. And it was just kind of really strange and peculiar. I didn't think that much of it after that. Other than, you know, I mean, it was natural. It was almost like, oh, it was kind of a ghost thing. That kind of weird activity in that house wasn't strange to me. Like, sometimes it would make me feel uncomfortable, but the presence of it was almost like second nature. So second thing that happened to me was, I guess it didn't really happen to me, but it was just another clue that there was something in the house, was I had a girlfriend at the when I was 15 years old, 14, I think. And she was older than me, and she would drive. She was like 16 or whatever, and she would be driving and would be dropping me off at my house. And one time, there was nobody else home, so we're sitting in the driveway kissing or whatever, and she gets kind of spooked and asks me if I'm sure that there's no one in my house. Asks me if I'm sure there's no one home, and I said, yeah, there's nobody home. There's definitely nobody home, all the lights are off, and she explains that she saw a woman in a small window next to the front door that was there. It's kind of just like a little peering window, But she said she saw a woman against with her face up to the window and her eyes around her, or her hands around her eyes, like, you know, cupping her eyes to try and see out better. I was like, no, there's definitely nobody home. That's kind of strange. So then the second time, somebody else saw the exact same thing, but he was my best friend at the time, and he actually didn't really get along with my girlfriend that I had, and this was probably around a year later that this happened, and he also was driving, and we were going to my house, and we were going to hang out, and nobody was home, and as we're walking up to the door, he's saying, "Are you sure nobody's home?" And I said, "Yeah," and he starts acting kind of strange. He was like, "I swear I just saw a woman against the window with her hands cupped around her eyes, like, looking out." I was like, "Well, that's really strange," and that's when I told him that this girl had said the same exact thing just a little while ago, around a year, and, you know, he becomes really interested. He wants to do, like, not exactly a seance, but he wants to record, like, us trying to communicate with whatever spirits there is, because he was really enthusiastic about all that stuff. So I was interested because it was like, hey, man, you know, two totally unconnected people saw the same thing in this window, so maybe there's something there. So we do go into the basement, and we've got a camera and recording and everything, and we're asking, is there a spirit here with us? We're trying to ask it questions. Nothing's happening. We looked over the videos after that, and I don't remember anything peculiar happening, but right after we stopped recording, we just kind of gave up. We're like, whatever. A few moments after we stopped recording, there was like a styrofoam plane up on a like a seat, or it was elevated somewhere. I don't remember exactly what exactly it was on top of, but it fell off, like, it fell to the floor, and we're both like, ooh. But that's completely explainable. But the most strange thing that happened to me, which I always thought was kind of disconnected from, or was connected from ghosts until I started listening to this podcast and or other podcasts and getting back into being more interested about spirits and things like that, I realized that I have seen a shadow figure, and that whenever I was like 17 years old or 16 or 17, because there were bedrooms in the basement, and my whole life I had slept in the upstairs portion of the house. So there were two upstairs, two downstairs, and till I was like 18, I slept in the upstairs one. And right before I moved downstairs, I'm sleeping, and I wake up in the middle of the night, which is totally unlike me. Like, I'm a solid sleeper. I sleep through, not through, like, cataclysmic events or anything, but I sleep all night, no problem. I never wake up, really. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and I look over, I turn over to my right, and there's this, as other people have described it, blacker than black, dark figure standing next to the bed looking at me. And I thought the reason I connect it to the rest of the experiences I've had in the house is because it felt like a woman presence. And I asked, "Mom, why are you in my bedroom? Like, do you need some? What are you doing?" And it turns, I can see it turn around and then just like disappear back into the darkness, and was retrospectively, it's really uncomfortable, but at the time it was like big shrug and like, okay, well, it's gone, I guess, and rolled over and went back to sleep. And I've never really experienced sleep paralysis and stuff like that, so and since I rolled over, I don't think I've was experiencing that. So I brought it up to my parents the next day, and my mom was like, she didn't really want to hear about it. She didn't like hearing about those kinds of things. And then, so yeah, I just thought I'd share those stories with you. I've got a UFO story too that is a really strange object in the sky, but I'll call back about that, give you a little bit more content. So I hope you enjoyed this, and I hope it's not too long. It's I had shared a lot of stories in one little drop, so thanks for listening, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Michael. A couple things stuck out to me regarding this call. First is the report of seeing an entity with cupped hands peering out the window. I could not help but imagine those cheesy Halloween props that you can get at Walmart or Target that essentially do the same thing. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, I've posted a picture of one of these in the show notes. I suppose, looking at these things in the store, they can come off as a bit hokey. But when placed in a darkened window, I could see how they can inspire a jolt or two. The second thing that I took note of was more funny than anything. I laughed out loud at Michael's response to seeing the shadow being. Simply rolling over and saying, "Eh, I guess it's gone." Ice cold, my friend. Ice cold. At any rate, thank you, Michael, for sharing these experiences. It's funny how these small events seem to accumulate to something much more dark and menacing. Be sure to let us know if anything else comes across your way. Alright, I have one more story to share with you, but before I do, it's been a while, so I feel I need to remind everyone. I'm still looking for haunted school or university stories. So if your alma mater has a famous ghost, please consider submitting today. I'm hoping to release this special episode the first week of September, so you only have a few weeks to get those stories in. We are barreling towards 700 reviews on the Apple Podcast app, but that is in no way satisfying. We need more. So if you haven't yet done so, please leave a rate and review. And if you've already done so, steal your significant other's phone and leave another. I promise I won't tell anyone. The point being that the higher these numbers are, the more people find the show, and in turn, the more people submit stories. So really, it benefits us all. A big thank you to all those that have and will submit reviews.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
If you have not noticed, the show's shop is stocked. And that is a difficult sentence to say. We now have all sizes of shirts and a brand new decal. And if there's a product you'd like to see in the shop, just let me know. I'm always looking for new ways to spread the word. I want to take a quick moment to thank Terry G for her generous donation. Thank you, Terry. For those that don't know, I was recently a guest on Paradelphia Radio. Rick, Doug, and I discussed Mirrored Men, so I highly suggest heading over to their website and checking out that episode. You can also find a link in tonight's show notes. And if you haven't heard, I will be hosting the town hall meeting at this year's CryptidCon, September 8th and 9th, in Frankfort, Kentucky. I don't have all the details just yet, but as they come in, I will be sure to let you guys know. So head over to CryptidCon.com and pick up your ticket. And last but not least, if you're looking for new shows to check out, might I suggest our friends over at Idiots Discuss the Universe.
The big questions.
Can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let it all out.
The hard truths.
Because anything that we're bound to talk about, we're bound to sound like idiots.
Idiots Discuss the Universe. We're poorly informed, highly opinionated, and hold no topic off limits.
Like and subscribe on iTunes or listen on your favorite interweb podcast portal.
Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Take it from this idiot, you want to check them out. Alright, enough of all that, let's get back to the program. Our next and final entry is of the written variety. The following is Annie's account from the state of Arizona. My name is Annie and I live in Arizona. I was turned on to your podcast after looking for some answers since my experience. Since I enjoy your podcast so much, I wanted to do my part and submit the story. This story takes place February 2018 in Central Bradshaw Mountain Range in Arizona. My husband and I hold a few mining claims. One is located in the Bradshaw Mountains. I have spent years climbing over the beautiful hills and exploring the history that saturates the area there. It has always been my favorite place to go and decompress. So I was very irritated when something happened to me on a recent trip that caused me to be too afraid to go back out there. I am a native, born and raised here. I know the deserts and feel totally comfortable and confident, no matter where I am. This particular day, we had taken the 45-minute drive out to the mine. Although it was a long, dusty, bumpy ride, the views made it worth it. We made our last turn onto the road that takes us to the entrance of the mine. The day was clear and bright. Looking down the hill below the road, I could see the old dry stack foundation that was my object of exploration that day. I had packed my pack with a traditional pick, hammer, and small brush I used to clean up the old sites around the claims we held. I loved taking care of history this way, and it always richly fed my curiosity for local history. My husband, his friend, and I were the only ones out that day. It's easy to tell that because the drive down, we have a vantage point where we could see anyone else that day, but today, we happen to be the only ones. The plan was to drop me on the road about a quarter of a mile from the mine. I would hike down to the structure, do my cleanup, and then hike to the mine where I would meet them. They were moving rock that day, and it's not a chore that I enjoy at all. I grabbed my pack and water, kissed my husband, and started down to the hill. I could hear the truck with the noisy equipment bounce down the road. The hill was fairly steep, so I took my time picking my way past the cactus and through the heavy sage. I spent about an hour pulling weeds and old brush off the remaining rock walls of an old foundation. I tried to restack some falling rocks the best I could, and cleared the opening slash doorway. It's the last thing that I do. But instead of heading south toward the mine, I went north. I noticed the foundation set next to an old path that followed the wash. There are many of these walking paths that the miners used daily to get to work and to home or into town. This was in decent shape, so I decided to follow for a little ways. About 300 yards later, I thought I may have stumbled upon a little cemetery. I could see that part of the wash bank was shored up with rock, and I thought there could have been some rock stacks that looked like burials. These are not uncommon. Most miners who died were literally buried where they died. Small cemeteries lay littered in a constellation effect over the entire Bradshaw Range. Hundreds of them are hidden and now forgotten. I am part of a project that locates and documents these forgotten dead. We identify, clean, and document each one we find so that we can keep a better history of the buried there. So I sat my pack down next to a large tree and dropped to one knee, digging for my dowsing rods. They're a tool I use to gather general information about who was buried in an area. As I unzipped my pack, I caught a whiff of something. It was not quite skunk, and not anything in my 40 years that I have ever smelled before. It was passing, and I did not give it a second thought until moments later I caught it again. Stronger this time, and suddenly, my unshakable feeling of safety was rocked. I started to feel like I was being watched. Remember, we're the only ones out here in this area. I popped my head up and scanned around, looking and listening for anything out of the ordinary. I had pushed my rods back into my pack and pulled out my gun. The smell, again. Almost like a skunk, but more sour and heavy, like a billy goat smells. That greasy hair, smelling thick like goat. But this was not a goat smell. I hollered out, "Billy, is that you?" Our friend sometimes hikes with me, and he smokes pot. I know that stuff is skunky, but no answer. By this time, I am really feeling unsettled, although I can't hear or see anything. But I know I'm being watched. So I turn and start fast back toward the safety of my husband. The trail back to the mine follows a ridge that rises out of the wash, and as I took it, I could hear something moving through the thick scrub oak, ironwood, and sage that infest the side of the mountain. Something was following me. When I stopped, it stopped. It was directly below me, and I can hear it moving along the side of the mountain when I moved along the trail up the ridgeline. I stopped several times to try and see or hear anything. I could not catch a sight of what it was, but I knew it was intentionally following me. As I moved closer to the mine, I could see our truck, and the thing in the bushes below me suddenly found its way in front of me. I could hear it moving in the brush along the trail that I was headed toward. At this point, I was truly afraid. Familiar with the animals that inhabit this area, I was certain that the thing I could smell and was following me on the path was not anything that I was familiar with. Midpoint on the ridge, I yelled out for my husband, who then appeared. I asked him to watch me as I broke away from the footpath and beelined it for him down the quote-unquote safe side of the mountain. I stayed tucked in the truck for the rest of the trip. The unsettled feeling stuck with me for days. I ended up looking online and connected with a local researcher who was able to tell me that if you drew a straight line from where the Patterson video was made in Gila Bend to Payson, Arizona, where many sightings are had, our claim is right on that line. He shared with me that a popular theory held is that Bigfoot do often migrate from hotter areas in the spring up to the north. We are located on that migratory path. Further research has confirmed that the northern Bradshaws are well known for Sasquatch sightings. I have run the gamut of having stumbled across a handful of stinky burrows, not uncommon, to being watched by a cougar, so perhaps I was close to a unique-smelling skunk hiding in a bush. I can come up with a possible explanation for practically everything, except my feeling of fear and unsettledness. Nothing I could consider would raise my level of self-preservation to what I experienced that day. I don't know what it was that was with me that day. I am not sure that I want to know. Thank you for all your work on the podcast, and keep it up. Annie. Well, thank you, Annie. First off, let me say that I believe your investigator gave you some bad information. The Patterson-Gimlin film, which of course is the film taken by Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin in 1967 of a supposed female Sasquatch, was actually filmed near Bluff Creek, California, not Arizona. So any line he drew would have to have been 1,000 miles long. Obviously, too broad to prove much of anything. But as for your encounter, there's certainly historical sightings to back up your story. In fact, just a short drive away lies the Mogollon Rim, a region of Arizona with its own monster.
Well, what's Halloween without a good ghost story?
Gotta have one.
In this case, a good monster story, as in the Mogollon Monster, Arizona's very own Bigfoot.
Yeah, the Mogollon Rim is a steep cliff, basically, that runs for about 200 miles from northern Arizona eastward, nearing the border with New Mexico. It's a rugged wilderness that many creatures call home. And as Linda Williams reports tonight, one man says the Mogollon Monster is among them.
There's all kinds of wildlife on the Mogollon Rim. As we watched, this young elk strolled calmly down a road near Woods Canyon Lake, with its mother nearby. But according to some, there is wildlife in these woods not so keen to be caught on camera.
They range from about this tall to about 8 feet.
Mitchell Waite is the chief monster chaser for MogollonMonster.com.
Well, I think they're the same species, but probably different races.
The Mogollon Monster is Arizona's Bigfoot. And according to Waite, the Mogollon Monster got his name in 1947 when a big, hairy beast raided a Boy Scout camp near Tonto Creek.
Because it happened on the Mogollon Rim, the Boy Scouts called it the Mogollon Monster. And that's kind of what stuck, you know.
Waite, whose family settled northern Arizona, first heard about the monster around the campfire.
You know, they were all about the hairy man or the wild man or something like that. And of course, I didn't believe them. We took all these campfire stories and we published them into a book called The Mogollon Monster, Arizona's Bigfoot. And they were just that, campfire stories. No proof, you know, just stories.
But stories slowly turned into reality after Waite started receiving reports of Bigfoot sightings and started to investigate for himself. His first sighting was 7 years ago while driving up on the rim.
I just happened to be catch something out of my corner of my eye, and I turned and looked, and this thing stood up out of a small cave. And my first thought was, it looked like Cousin It on the Addams Family, you know. But by the time I got it backed up, it had already covered probably 30 yards and disappeared into the bushes.
Waite showed us photos of the Mogollon Monster he and his team have captured.
Cow, look at
and
that.
This video from inside a cave made of sticks and pine needles.
Look at
this, says Waite, is a small baby Bigfoot trying to hide in the corner from his night vision camera. Waite has mapped Mogollon Monster sightings from across the state. There are many, but most are up on the rim, and he's had his own sightings.
Probably, well, over a dozen times now. Yeah. Basically, we try to tweak their interest to come to us.
It seems Bigfoot has a big sweet tooth.
Cookies or baked goods, anything sweet. They really like sweets.
Footprint castings represent the traditional Bigfoot proof of life. Wait has plenty of those, too, along with plenty of doubters.
But of course, there's lots of skeptics that just won't accept it.
But also plenty of believers who have a new way to track down an old legend, the Muggian Monster.
Now with modern social media and so forth, it's becoming more and more acceptable for people to share what they've seen and what they've heard, and even videos or photos. Now believe me, there's a lot of hoaxers out there, but there are a few reputable people that are searching for the truth.
And that is why I don't camp. Right there.
Boy, that is a moment of honesty.
There will
I love
not
that.
Be any camping. I won't be in a tent in northern Arizona. I'll
the Muggian Monster is, that's
you
a deterrent.
Yeah. If you would like to take a look at more photos of the Muggian Monster, just go to fox10phoenix.com. We've got a link there. We also have more from Mitchell Waite on how to search for the Muggian Monster. It's on our YouTube page, youtube.com/fox10phoenix. Waite would not give us the exact locations of his sightings of the monster, fearing to inform those who would only want to hunt or kill Bigfoot.
That clip comes courtesy of Fox 10 out of Phoenix, Arizona. So it's obvious that there have been sightings in that region before, so it goes without saying that there certainly might be a monster roaming the highlands of Arizona. A Muggian Monster, if you will. Thanks again, Annie, and thank you all for tuning in tonight. Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Additional support is provided by Warren Pon Abbott and Eddie Lloyd. All audio used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Music for this episode was provided by Mayu and Coag Music. Thank you all for listening, and until next week.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.